Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Tuesday morning. It is December 9th, 2025 for this edition of Catholic Connection, and we are honoring San Juan Diego today. Of course, it's feast day, the first indigenous saint in the Americas, and its connection to the Virgin of Guadalupe. There's a beautiful summary from Catholic News Agency I'll share a little bit with you. He was born in 1474, known for his encounter with the Virgin Mary in December of 1531, during which Mary asked him to request the local bishop to build a church in honor, her honor, on Tepeyac Hill, which was previously a site of a pagan temple. The event, of course, leading to the establishment of a major basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, a significant pilgrimage site for Catholics, especially in Mexico. So some of the celebrations and traditions surrounding the Feast of San Juan Diego, the feast day, very important for Mexican Catholics and is celebrated with various traditions, including processions, prayers, and special masses. And in connection to Advent, the feast day falls during the Advent season, making it a time for reflection and preparations for Christmas. And then, of course, the amazing miraculous image, a key aspect of the story, is a miraculous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe that appeared on Juan Diego's tilma or cloak after he presented roses to the bishop as proof of his encounter with the Blessed Mother, and the image remains a symbol of faith and devotion for Catholics. Our Lady of Guadalupe and San Juan Diego, pray for us. And this Friday on the feast day, we're going to be talking with Steve Ray, who's taken groups there many, many times, so we'll look forward to that. Coming up in the program today, I think you are really going to get a lot out of another interview that we're going to do for the entire show this morning. The first hour is going to be all Father Wayne Sattler. He was with us back on November, I think it was 5th, because he was live on EWTN Live with Father Mitch. And he was in the second hour of the program on our EWTN Radio Extra second hour. And I was just so impressed with his spirituality, his devotion to God, and what he went through to get where he is in his relationship with the Lord. He is the diocesan spiritual director in Bismarck, North Dakota. He's written a number of books. He has articles on Catholic Exchange. Of course, he's been on EWTN, and he joins us again. And we're just going to, I think, dive into Advent. Here we are in the second week, and a big mission of his is to help people engage their hearts, to go beyond thinking of God as an idea or a concept or like just a spirit, really tying everything in with the incarnation and, of course, coming into the Christmas season fairly soon. Second week of Advent, and so we'll talk with Father Wayne about how we can get closer to God and embrace what the Church teaches in this very special time of year. So that's the first hour of the program. We'll touch base on the second hour a little bit later on. Let's take a look at the weather, because there are some issues out there with the weather. We'll have more on it in the news as well. There's a prolonged atmospheric river that will continue impacting the Pacific Northwest and heavy rainfall, which has led to areas of urban and river flooding, along with gusty winds into Thursday. So through pretty much a good portion of this week, a clipper will bring heavy snow, some mixed wintry precipitation, and gusty to high winds across the northern plains, the upper Midwest, and the Great Lakes also into Thursday morning. So another 2 days of some, well, uncomfortable weather. It is a Tuesday morning. So glad you're listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio. And this is a feast day of San Juan Diego. Pray for us. And we look forward to talking more about that, even getting Father Statler's idea on that as well. So let's get the news. We have a lot to get through on a busy Tuesday morning. Never a dull moment. It is now almost 4 minutes past the hour. Let's see what's happening on EWTN. Well, continuing a decades-old practice started by his predecessors, the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, marking yesterday, December 8th, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception with a visit to the Piazza di Spagna. As the Holy Father arrived near the Spanish Steps, a choir and assembly sang a Marian hymn entitled, "You Rise More Beautiful Than the Dawn," and the Vicar of Rome and the Mayor of Rome welcomed the Pope as he arrived. After an opening prayer, the Pope offering a bouquet of beautiful flowers at the base of the 12-meter or 39-foot-tall column of the Immaculate Virgin, the choir prayed the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary in song. In 1978, at the beginning of his episcopal ministry as a successor of Peter, Pope John Paul II did entrust the Church in a special way to Mary. At the Angelus on December 8th of that year, his words on the Immaculate Conception intertwined with the life of Jesus. He said, "Christ, who is the author of divine life, that is of grace in each person through the redemption he accomplished must be especially generous with his mother. The generosity of the son toward the mother goes back to the first moment of her existence, and it's called the Immaculate Conception. Syria is marking 1 year since the fall of longtime ruler Bashar al-Assad after nearly 14 years of war. As Nathan Morley with Vatican News tells us, the former ruler was ousted on December 8th last year after nearly 14 years of conflict.
The al-Assad dynasty, which held power for 54 years, ended when a rebel offensive forced Assad from office after his 24-year rule, which was marked by accusations of widespread torture and repression. Up to 300,000 people remain missing, with scores of mass graves believed to exist across the country. The war triggered one of the world's largest migration crises, with 6.8 million Syrians, that's about a third of the population, fleeing at its peak in 2021. More than half settled in neighbouring Turkey, whilst hundreds of thousands found refuge in Lebanon and Jordan. The UN Refugee Agency says more than 3 million Syrians have returned since late 2024.
The New York Archdiocese is setting aside hundreds of millions of dollars for sexual abuse victims. Cardinal Timothy Dolan releasing a statement yesterday saying the Archdiocese was setting up a $300 million fund that would compensate people who have sued the church over sexual abuse allegations. Dolan says the church plans to sell off assets and trim its budget to raise the money needed for the fund. The hope is that the fund will cover almost all of the nearly 1,300 outstanding sexual abuse claims against the church. President Trump says he has no problem releasing the full video of the so-called double-tap strike on a suspected drug boat from Venezuela. Yesterday, the president said whatever Secretary of War Pete... Navy Admiral Frank Mitch Bradley is showing the strike video to lawmakers and said there were no orders from Hegseth to kill the survivors of the first strike. President Trump, meanwhile, is unveiling his $12 billion farm aid package.
This relief will provide much needed certainty to farmers as they get this year's harvest to market and look ahead to next year's crops. And it'll help them continue their efforts to lower food prices for American families.
During a roundtable at the White House, the announcement comes as the Trump administration was saying yesterday it's making affordability its number one issue. And the Supreme Court will decide whether President Trump can fire members of an independent agency. The High Court heard arguments related to the matter yesterday. It's related to Trump's firing of Rebecca Kelly Slaughter, a member of the Federal Trade Commission. Federal law allows for firings like this only in cases of inefficiency, neglect of duty, or malfeasance in office. The High Court will decide whether a 1935 ruling that upheld those restrictions should be overturned. Slaughter was one of two Democratic commissioners fired by Trump earlier this year. Chris Garagio tells us Senate Republicans have competing health care proposals.
Some Republicans want a deal that would preserve Affordable Care Act subsidies, while others want the enhanced subsidies to expire. Senators Bernie Moreno and Susan Collins have introduced the CARE Act that would create a two-year extension of expiring ACA enhanced subsidies and allow reforms intended to appease conservatives. The Senate is expected to vote on a Democratic health care plan later this week, though it's not expected to pass, and Republicans haven't decided which plan would be used as a counterproposal. I'm Chris Caraggio.
Cheryl Hines, a wife of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., saying her husband is not running for president in 2028. She was asked on News Nation if Kennedy had plans to run, saying he did not. Now, Kennedy, who ran for president as a Democrat and later an independent in the 2024 race, backed President Trump in that election and later becoming, of course, the president's Health and Human Services Secretary. As we mentioned at the top of the hour with the weather, winter weather continues to affect millions across the country. Temperatures dipping below freezing throughout parts of the Midwest and Northeast. Over 12 million people from eastern Kentucky to northern North Carolina are now under various weather alerts, with some areas forecast to receive up to 5 inches of snow. Tuesday, additional snowfall is expected in North Dakota during the morning before shifting toward the Great Lakes region. And cold conditions will hold steady through today with a brief warm-up anticipated maybe later in the week, but another round of cold air arrives by Friday. Brad Ford, meanwhile, tells us that Atmospheric River is pumping subtropical rain and warm temperatures into the Northwest this week.
There will be gusty winds and a lot of rain. Snow levels in the Cascades are high, and with several inches of rain forecast, rivers coming from the Cascades could top their banks. At the coast, high tides caused by the moon will cause rivers going into the ocean to back up, and combined with the heavy rainfall, coastal flooding is expected. I'm Brad Ford.
Denny's is shutting down additional restaurants across the country. The diner chain, closing 88 locations last year, reportedly has plans to close now an additional 70, between 70 and 90. News of the closures come after the diner chain previously said it would shutter about 150 underperforming restaurants by the end of the year. The chain also announcing last month it would be sold for $620 million, but the closures are said to be unrelated to the pending sale. Tammy Trujillo tells us the Fed is widely expected to announce an interest rate cut, and that could happen tomorrow.
But investors caution the Fed's policy committee could be sharply divided. A handful of members have expressed worries about possible tariff-driven inflation. This is not the last rate decision with Jerome Powell as Fed chair. Although President Trump has pushed Powell to resign, his term as chair doesn't end until May of 26. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The Broward Sheriff's Office in the Fort Lauderdale area issuing a warning about scammers who are calling families of people recently arrested impersonating deputies, sergeants, or pretrial specialists.
Arrest info is pretty public, and it's public right away, pretty much, you know, hours after an arrest. So, yeah, anyone can really get on and find that information, and, you know, everything is just one Google or internet search away.
That's Officer Miranda Grossman, who says, well, these crooks try to pressure victims into sending money electronically for bail, bond, or ankle monitors. No law enforcement will not ask for money over the phone, and they won't ask you to wire or transfer gift cards or any other type of payment. Do not give any personal information, they insist. Hang up, call the police directly, and report the scam attempt. A poll by the American Psychiatric Association shows 41% of U.S. adults expect to feel more stress this holiday season than last year. Clinical psychologist Carrie Ditzel says in order to help your mental health during the holiday season, you may have to say no to certain things.
Take a minute to think about what you really want to do. What is worth changing your routine for? Which party, which person is going to bring you joy and it's worth the stress or the disruption?
The poll also shows nearly half of adults say they are worried about missing someone, or they're worried about grieving as well. Nearly half also say they are worried about affording or finding those special holiday gifts. NASA's Johnny Kim and two cosmonauts are on their way back to Earth. The crewmates from the Russian space agency undocked from the International Space Station last night.
Undocking confirmed at 7:41 and 30 seconds p.m. Central Time.
The three spent 245 days aboard the space station. They're set to touch down after midnight tonight. And finally, in our news segment, at almost 13 minutes past the hour, Breed Tennis tells us today is the day people start sending out those letters and Christmas cards for the season.
It's a day to gather a stack of cards, maybe a family photo, and a roll of stamps to send holiday cheer to about 50 people on your list. It's a dying form. Back in the 80s, about 75% of us sent holiday cards. American Greeting says this year only about 40% of us will do it. And do check that list twice for worthiness, as the cost of a card, photo, and postage will set you back at least $2.50 per card. I'm Bree Tennis.
And I'm Teresa Tomeo. It is a Tuesday morning on Catholic Connection. More Catholic Radio coming your way. December 9th, second week of Advent 2025. How is it going for you? Are you able to find that quiet time with the Lord that's so important? Are you able to prepare and ponder, meditate, and have that anticipation as we are supposed to during the season? Well, if not, Father Wayne to the rescue. Father Wayne Sattler, of course, is with the Diocese of Bismarck, North Dakota, where apparently some bad weather is moving through, so keep them in your prayers. He's also the diocesan spiritual director, and he was on with Father Mitch last month, and I just enjoyed talking to him so much, and he was so insightful. I thought, what a great thing to have Father with us for an extended interview this morning. He's with us for the rest of the first hour of the program to talk all about Advent, especially, though, to dive more deeply helping our hearts focus on God as more of just an idea or a concept, to really embrace the incarnation and what that means. Father, good morning. Great to have you back on the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on again, and a blessed Advent to you.
All right, so what's the weather doing in Bismarck? Tell us, what describe it for us.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's right now, it's what we call freezing rain, so it's not cold enough to snow, but as soon as it hits the ground or power lines, it'll turn straight into ice. And so schools are canceling right now. And then after this, we're supposed to get high winds up to 50 miles an hour, which is not a good combination with frozen ice on power lines and trees. And then we get some snow after that and deep cold.
Oh, my goodness.
Below zero. So it's just one of those storms. This is what keeps the population regulated here in North Dakota, perhaps.
Well, we're glad you're snug as a bug and that you're safe and speaking with us. And hopefully the power will hold out throughout the program, because we want you for the rest of the hour. Let's talk about Advent. What do you, as the spiritual director of Bismarck, North Dakota, what do you tell your people, the flock there, in terms of the importance of Advent and getting closer to the Lord?
The season of Advent is really a gift of the church to us each and every year. To renew our hearts in first being aware of a time when the world was awaiting a Savior and didn't know how that Savior would come, and that they were experiencing great trials, you know, in the midst of waiting that Savior. And so the first thing that we are renewed in the season of Advent is the beauty that Savior has come. And we believe that it truly is Jesus Christ, who became incarnate, became a man. And in the season of Advent, then, the second aspect, of course, is that we continue to wait for his second coming, and which, in the midst of it, too, again, we can experience many trials and difficulties. But in that, we pray for the grace to become more deeply aware that we're waiting differently than they did 2,000 years ago. That we're no longer wondering how this might happen. We believe that it's happened, and we're no longer waiting just for the Savior. We're waiting with the Savior. And so to somehow to reconnect our hearts with that truth, because again, as we talked about last time, and a big thing that is always on my heart is trying to help people to engage God more as the person that he is, rather than just the idea of who God is. Because again, it can be a wonderful idea chopped into the midst of all the other ideas we have swarming around our heads right now and getting ready for the holidays. But to really renew our hearts in the man who is Jesus Christ, and who really became born of a Virgin Mary. It's just a radical, radical belief. So the two things are just to renew our hearts in that truth, and then to spend time with him in our hearts, getting to know him more deeply as the person that he is.
I wonder if there's a challenge for some, and you would know this because of your work as a spiritual director and all the studies you've done over the years and the books you've written, if it's more comfortable for many of us to just think of God as an idea or a concept, because if we really wrap our heads, well, you can never fully understand the mystery of the incarnation. I mean, theologians have been doing this since the beginning of the church, but you know, the idea of God becoming man, the King of Kings, the Great I Am, the Omnipotent One. But I think sometimes if we keep God in a box and keep him in a safe place, that we don't have to be that responsible or really take this seriously, this Catholic faith that we have. What do you think about that?
That's a good point, though, at the end there. There's two different points, actually, that you're making there. First is we like to be in relationships that we're in control of.
Right.
And that's what people do, right? I mean, we like to kind of be the ones that are in control of the relationship. And we can treat we do treat people as ideas oftentimes when they're not quite measuring up to how we think they should be acting or how they should be thinking. And in trying to control them, we can sometimes miss engaging them with our hearts and striving to understand why they're seeing things differently than us and why they're acting differently than us. And it's the same thing with God, that he warns us in sacred scripture that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And it's very tempting to try to control God, even in our life of prayer. As long as I keep prayer at the level of vocal prayer and meditation, in a sense, I still remain pretty much in control of that time. And I need to learn to surrender myself at a deeper level to how he might be trying to speak to me, not just about how I'm trying to talk to him or what I might think about him, but about his thoughts and his ways. And that's the second point that you're making there, because
right.
his ways and his thoughts are very challenging. They're radical. That if we believe that he is who he is, then we live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us. And that's a great challenge to any person, is to really to lay down your life and to live for him. And with your focus, really seeing that I'm on a journey towards heaven now, and this is not my homeland that I'm living in right now, which ice storms help to make you realize that.
We are not in charge, right?
We're not in charge, and this is not my homeland. This is not heaven, no.
Yeah. Unless you like snow and ice
two great
and no power.
That you're making.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Father.
Those are the two great points that you're making, though, that it's both the control and the challenge are the two different areas in which we can, with anybody, if we aren't controlling them or are challenged by them, we can kind of sideline them off to they're just a radical idea, rather than allowing ourselves to really engage this person. And God is the most radical of all, you know, and what he has said about who he is and where he's trying to challenge us to live for and with.
We're talking, of course, with Father Wayne Sattler, and he is the spiritual director for the Diocese of Bismarck, North Dakota. He's also an author, a speaker, a spiritual leader, and recently appearing on EW10 with Father Mitch Pacwa last month. And we had such a great discussion the last time. I thought we have to bring you on closer to Christmas. Here we are, the second week of Advent. Father, we don't wait well, I think, just as general, people in general, but especially Americans, right?
Very good point. We're very, very impatient. And, you know, it was in Pope Benedict XVI's inaugural homily. I'll just never forget it. It's ingrained in my heart. He says, we wish that God would be a little less patient, too, that he would show himself more powerful. And then he turns it around on us and says, but yet we need God's patience. We're saved by God's patience, that it's the crucified one that saves us, not those who crucified him. And he concludes by saying, we are saved by the patience of God, and we are killed, basically, by the impatience, or destroyed by the impatience of man. And that's true. So we're not good waiters. And one thing that we need to learn in prayer is to wait for the Lord.
Father, hold on 1 second. We have to take a quick break. We'll return to that point on the other side of the break. Father Wayne Sattler from the Diocese of Bismarck, author, speaker, spiritual director, talking about taking the idea of God beyond the idea and look at the person. We'll be right back. Up here Tuesday morning, the Feast of San Juan Diego is going well, December 9th, 2025, and you're listening to EWTN's Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Check us out online, EWTN.com, and if you go to EWTN.com/radio, go to schedules, you'll see all the great programming we have for Advent just for you. So check that out, and also if you go to EWTN.com/Advent, you can sign up for our Learn series, the beautiful videos from our dear friend and chaplain, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. They're wonderful. I've signed up for them and have been watching them every week so far. I'm going into, oh my goodness, we're in the middle of week two. Week three is though right around the corner. Father Wayne is with us. Father Wayne Sattler is from the Diocese of Bismarck, North Dakota. He's a spiritual director there. He's also a noted author. We're talking this morning about God being more than just a concept or an idea. God coming down, the incarnation, embracing that, especially this time of year. So, Father, I was telling you during the break that my next book is all about St. Francis and places associated with him in Italy. And a favorite piece of art is not one of the great frescoes inside the Basilica of San Francesco, but it's this beautiful statue called The Return of St. Francis after his very, very defeating experience that he had in Spoleto. And he had to come back and realize that he was not going to be a soldier in the papal army. He was not going to be some knight in shining armor. And the statue is him in full armor, his horse in full armor, and both of them have their heads bowed down. It looks like it's such a defeat, but to me, it's such a statue of victory, because that's when really God can begin to work in our lives, when we humbly submit to him, as you were mentioning earlier. Oh, Father, are you there?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, as you describe that statue more in detail, too, which I think is very helpful for our listeners, he's still got all of his armor on, right?
Yes.
And he was ready to go out into battle and ready to do anything, you know, in his vigor. And I think we, too, have our armor up as well. And there will eventually come some time in our life when our vulnerabilities will be exposed, just as they were for St. Francis, and when the armor needs to be let down. And it's then that God can enter in a very profound way. There's a quote in the book it's from a Carthusian that reminds us that that God doesn't need our wealth. But what he does need is our poverty, to which he alone can give us his gifts, his love, himself, that he's not able to be himself, to be love if he's not able to be self outpouring into our hearts in this, what we call an extravagant folly of his gratuitous love, which I love that line, the extravagant folly of his gratuitous love, because that's what eventually captured the heart of St. Francis, was this extravagant folly of God's gratuitous love, because it wasn't as if he was out earning God's love. He was kind of getting things wrong, you know, in a lot of
yeah.
ways. And now that he had returned, realizing that the way that I thought life was going to unfold might not be it, he opened his heart up in his poverty to really God's plan and to God's voice, inviting him to do something different. It wasn't long after that he did hear God's voice
right.
in his heart
and
confused it right away in a human way, you know, to rebuild his church and thinking that it should just be a physical church. But he spent enough time with the Lord in his poverty and in his listening to do exactly what the Lord was asking of him and allow himself to be so filled with the extravagant folly of God's gratuitous love that he did reform the church in a very remarkable way.
Yeah, when you think about it, it doesn't take much. God just wants an open heart and a willing heart. But I think sometimes we're so afraid that if we allow God to take over our lives, that we're going to be missing all kinds of fun. I remember Benedict XVI said, you know, God is not, you know, a series of no's, but a series of yes to love and to life. And if we could just understand that God wants what's best for us, and his plan is the only plan in the end is going to make us happy. So when we hold on to our plans, we're like in this, I'm speaking from personal experience, we're in this tug of war. Now, I've got this, God. I've got this figured out. Just put your stamp of approval. Everything will be fine, right?
Well, and that's precisely where, people ask me, when did you stop treating God as an idea? And I say, well, I still do. And it's precisely in those moments where I'm like, God, I think I got this one all figured out. You just, just walk along with me and we'll go the right path, you know, right now. You follow me. And it's precisely in those moments when things don't go right. And you're right, there is this fear. And it was, again, Pope Benedict, even in his inaugural homily too, again, he was saying that we think that if we give everything to God that we're going to lose something. And that we'll lose something that makes life so precious and valuable. And he goes on to reassert with firmness that, no, if we give him, we lose absolutely nothing of what makes life precious and worthwhile. And in fact, we gain a hundredfold. We gain everlasting life. But that takes a defeat in order to kind of unfold in our hearts. And God comes to defeat us not in a overwhelming way, but in a child who became a man and suffered and died for us. And thankfully he did, you know, because in that, in my own poverty, in my own weakness, it's not as if somebody's trying to overwhelm me. Somebody's trying to fuel me. And I just need to allow him that space. He can't fill what's full, Mother Teresa used to say. And so we need to allow ourselves to enter into those emptying moments so that God can come and be God and fill us with himself.
Or even think right today, being the feast day, Father, of San Juan Diego, and how poor and really very humble man he was. But at the same time, he didn't really know what was going on. He tried to avoid going back the same way where he saw the Blessed Mother, right? Yeah. And didn't think he was up to this whole task that he was being asked to do.
It's a very good point, too. And again, it's his acceptance of his own weakness. He's like, man, you know, the bishop's never going to listen to me. And in fact, he does go to the bishop, you know, and tells him about this encounter. And then he, you know, tries to go the opposite way to avoid this lady again because, you know, you got to find somebody different than me because I'm just too weak. I'm too poor. And in that humbleness of just taking these roses and putting them into his cloak, thinking that's going to be the sign, you know, that's what the beauty of it all is, that he was humble enough to think that, okay, if this bishop just sees these roses blooming out of season, we're going to be good. That was his plan. That was his idea, right? But then since he had submitted to God and given himself to how God works and his ways and his thoughts, something profound unfolded before the bishop's eyes that that Juan could have never possibly imagined.
I love that description when you read about the bishop's encounter when he sees the tilmine. Juan doesn't realize what's going on. Then he realizes then when he looks at it, what was imprinted on that tilma, which is still there in vibrant color today. 36 minutes past the hour, having a great Advent conversation with a Father Wayne Sattler, who is the spiritual director for the Diocese of Bismarck, North Dakota. We are talking about helping you embrace God as a person, the incarnation, right? He came down as a child. Innocent, humble, in such humble and poor beginnings. What are you afraid of this Advent? Are you letting God in just a little bit? Open wide, as John Paul II said, the doors to Christ. More with Father Wayne wrapping up. Boy, this is going by way too fast. When we come back, talking about Advent. Stay tuned. Hopefully we are giving you some more food for thought for your Advent experience this 2025, December 9th, 2025. Listening to EWTN's Catholic Connection on a Tuesday. Great to be with you and to be with, again, Father Wayne Sattler, who's the spiritual director for the Diocese of Bismarck. Father, I want you to let people know about your books because you have some great resources. So please share your latest title and also where we can buy your books.
Yeah, thank you for that opportunity. There's... I kind of joke with people, I never intended to write any books, but now I got two and there needs to be a third written yet, too. The first one that I wrote was the fruit of giving many, many retreats on contemplative prayer and also talks to our permanent diaconate program. And eventually it started focusing on the writings of St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, especially in the interior castle and the dark night. And how those two really put together can help us to understand what God does in prayer, because it's not our ways, it's not our thoughts, it's not how we would act in prayer, it's how God does. And so that first book that I wrote was, and You Will Find Rest, What God Does in Prayer. And that book only goes through the first five dwellings of the interior castle and the first night of the dark night. So there's another book that needs to be written to that, a sequel to it. And when people hear that I wrote a second book, they go, oh, the sequel is out there. And I go, no, actually, after presenting on that for so many years, I had to take a step back and write the prequel to it, which is the newer book, and which focuses more on who God is, that in order to understand what he can do, we have to appreciate who he is. Mm-hmm. And so this one is entitled Remain in Me and I in You, relating to God as a person, not an idea. And in it, we go through the three classical areas of knowing God, loving God, and serving God. And it's a very brief read. It's only, if you listen to it on Audible, it's like 2.5 hours, so very short, mm-hmm. brief Advent type of read. And if you haven't read any of these books first, read that one first. It'll be a nice prequel to the second one, and you will find rest. They're all found, so they were published by Sophie Institute Press. You can find them there on their website. You can also find them on Amazon as well.
Okay, great. So Remain in Me and I in You, and also And You Will Find Rest. The Remain in Me and I in You is really tying into what we're discussing this morning about really getting to know God a lot better. And we were talking during the break about the creche or the Presepe, the famous nativity scenes that really came about. We mentioned St. Francis earlier. He was the one who decided after he came back from the Holy Land about, I think it was about a year before, maybe 2 years before he died when he was in Greccio. I have to look at my notes, but he wanted to have this live nativity scene. And as a result of that, this is why we have the nativity scenes all over the world. And yet, as it should be, during Advent, if we put out our nativity scene, the baby Jesus is not there because he's still coming. We're anticipating his arrival. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, Father, the second coming. How important is it to take the time to, you know, really ponder that nativity scene, that creche, in waiting for baby Jesus?
It's a beautiful tool for us. I mean, St. Francis, you know, after his journey to the Holy Land, was just struck by the reality of where the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, as St. John writes. Mm-hmm. And he came back just inspired to try to help people realize, you know, he really did enter into the messiness of our human life. And his first creche scene was a live one, you know, mm-hmm. with real animals and with people dressed in the different figures of the shepherds and Joseph and Mary. And then, of course, as you know, there was no baby Jesus in there, but on Christmas Day, a baby appeared.
Right.
And they believe
mm-hmm.
it was the Lord himself that appeared there. And these are a good tool for us to use as a source of meditation. And just take a real good look at a nativity scene, especially one that's well done, and recognize that God, as we were talking during the break, he really entered into the messiness of our human right. life. That if I were God, the way that I would have saved the world was not to jump in the mess with everybody else. I would have stood as far away as I could and make it as perfect as I am and just wave my hand over it and just say, okay, now it's all good now. And it's like I've shared that story. I think you enjoyed it last time too, that a lot of times my idea of God saving me is him standing like a lifeguard, you know, over a pool with a life preserver and me struggling to swim, you know, underneath. And I keep on thinking, God, just send in that life preserver. I'm struggling in here. And mm-hmm. it seems like to me, God is up there thinking, well, should I send it in? Should I not send it in? He looks like he's doing okay right now. Maybe he can go a little bit longer. Maybe he's learning in all this. And I'm just like, send it in, God. And mm-hmm. that's not the way he saves us. He saves us by jumping right in with me into the mess of that pool and that drowning. And so the season, as beautiful as it is also proven to be very difficult for many people. We hit many limitations in our lives, limitations of our time, and preparing limitations of our own ability to provide, and limitations of human relationships, you know, too, in our family gatherings.
Right.
And it's precisely there that God is wanting and waiting to enter into the messiness of our human life. And by meditating upon the scene of the nativity and seeing that, you know, yeah, it's dirty there. And he really did get laid into a feeding trough of a cow, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of strange. There's a donkey around there, too, that they rode in on, and it's filthy, you know, and just to realize that if God really did enter into the messiness of that human situation to make his dwelling with us, that he's waiting and wanting to enter into the messiness of my own situations. He's not waiting for them to be perfect and they're not going to just get a wand waved over them and perfected, but I can allow him into it, and he can show me the way forward. That's the beauty of our relationship with God, is that there's always this way forward with him.
Why is it so hard for us to humble ourselves, do you think? I mean, I know human pride is of course, we see it in the fall, an original sin, but it seems that we don't want to let ourselves go there.
Well, part of it, I mean, the evil one tries to get in there at every possible angle and just make you really doubt that God would act this way. You know, that if God really loved you, it would be different than it is. And so then we do keep God as more of an idea than a person, mm-hmm. just to maintain that relationship. And so we have to let that armor down, just as did St. Francis
did.
So let that armor mm-hmm. down and really allow him to enter the messiness of our life and to realize that holiness is not somehow the crowning of our virtuous life. It's God who enters into the messiness of our life and saves us. And the true soul that becomes holy didn't become holy on their own. They became holy because God entered in and saved them again and again and again mm-hmm. and again. And that's very true in St. Francis. And so that's one of the beautiful practices of Advent that we would encourage, especially our Catholic listeners, to do, is to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and to allow God to enter into the mess of their life and to experience the reality that within a matter of moments, he will literally wipe those sins away, as the psalm prays, and as the prayer of absolution prays, will give us pardon and peace. And so that's one of the things that, as a church, we always encourage people to do, is to return to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, humble ourselves there, and allow him to enter in the mess of your life and to bring us peace there. That's one of the beautiful gifts that we have in this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Father Wayne Sattler, and he is the spiritual director for the Diocese of Bismarck. He was on with Father Mitch last month and also on Catholic Connection talking about his books, and wanted to have him back on to talk more deeply about Advent. Oh my goodness, Father, only about 4 minutes left, but Father mm-hmm. is suggesting, as we move through Advent, to pick up a copy of his book that was published by Sophia, Remain in Me and I in You, and also And You Will Find Rest. But the Remain in Me and I in You is really, I think, concentrating more closely to the topic at hand today in terms of really diving in and thinking about what happened with the incarnation, which is crazy and you can't wrap your mind around it. But just pondering it should hopefully get us off our high horse and realize that God is God and we are not, which is a constant struggle for all of us, if we're honest, right? Because we still want to maintain control. And I think it was an interesting point that you brought about the weather, because you probably had plans today, right? Doing certain things with the diocese or whatever you had on your agenda. Maybe you were doing a retreat. Maybe other people listening in that part of the country or other areas where the weather is impacting it had their whole day worked out, because it's a busy time of year. We have this list and that list. And then something happens. And then we realize, hey, I'm not in charge. Go figure. Right, Father?
Yeah. And in those moments, our children this morning were all very anxious whether school would be canceled or not, because the roads are so icy, and so are the parents. You know, are they going to be going to work or not today? Because it's treacherous. Literally, it's a thin layer of ice over the whole area. And it's in that anxiousness that it's not taken away, but that the Lord can be with us and to reassure us that there is a path forward here today. Your plans may have changed. They may not have been what you had thought they would be, but that there is a plan forward. And that's the beauty to me with God, is especially like when people go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, that it always gives you a way forward with them. And that's, like, for me, the beauty of working with souls in spiritual direction is no matter how much things have switched and changed for you, there's still a way for us to go forward here. And I think that's something important just to renew for people in this season of Advent, is just really renewing in their hearts that God has a plan forward for you, and to spend time in your heart with him, surrendering that to him consciously and just begging him to guide you forward from wherever you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, today's a beautiful example of that. Yes, I did have other plans, and it's continuing to rain out there, and it's going to get colder, so then the winds are going to come, and we're going to see what happens with it all.
But that kind of a time, and I really love Advent, because I think those times really force you to slow down, and things happen, mm-hmm. and it just reminds you, again, as I mentioned earlier, that we're not in charge. And okay, what can I do at this moment? This isn't what I planned. This may be throwing a wrench in things in terms of, you know, getting things done. But okay, now I have this opportunity. What am I going to do with it? And so, Father, in the remaining minute and a half, what else in terms of, in addition to really thinking about God as a person, the incarnation, and pondering in front of a crush, what else can we do in the next 2 weeks, do you think, to make the most of Advent?
Well, there's one thing that there's no substitute for in our life, that we can read about things, we can hear about things, we can think about things, but we really need to spend time with God in our hearts. Now, ideally, that would be in a church before the Blessed Sacrament. That's mm-hmm. ideal. But not everybody's going to have that opportunity, and that doesn't mean that you can't spend time alone with God in your heart.
Right.
You can still do it in the silence of your home. You can do it in your car. You can do it wherever. And to me, there's just no substitute for that. I have the privilege of teaching about prayer, and I consider it a real privilege to do, because it's the one relationship that will never end. But I always reassure people, I can talk till I'm blue in my face. But if you're not carving out time each day to be alone with God,
yeah, that's the most important thing. Father, we're out, speaking of time, I wish we had more time, but we're out of time. Really enjoyed conversing with you, Father. Father Wayne Settler from the Diocese of Bismarck. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning, December 9th, 2025, second week of Advent, Feast of San Juan Diego. Wonderful day to learn more about the feast day, about the saint, and about the Tilma and Our Lady. And we'll be diving into that a little more deeply later in the week. But first, EWTN's Radio Extra, hour number two of Catholic Connection. We are going to continue our highs and lows for educational stories with Kelly Solomon. She gives us the Newman Guide News from the Cardinal Newman Society. And there are some doozies, both good and bad. And she gave us a whole list. And we went through, I think, maybe half of them last week. And there are so many other important stories that we're going to revisit the list and try to really go through most of them that we have left, because you'll be amazed at some of the things that have happened, both good and bad, in education. So she will join us, as she always does, on Tuesdays with the Newman Guide News from the Cardinal Newman Society, Kelly Solomon. Now, in 2 cents, I wanted to get to the story that I mentioned yesterday, didn't have time for in the second hour if you were listening on EWTN's Radio Extra, about how I received something that was really important, and I received it at the non-denominational station where I was working. And I was really under a lot of harassment from former Catholics, not so much the Protestants there who were raised in the Evangelical Church. They were actually very supportive. It was the former Catholics, and who knows, bless their hearts, perhaps they were taught incorrectly or had some issues or had a bad experience. But something happened in the midst of that harassment that made all the difference. It gave me the courage to stand up for my faith. And I'll talk about that in 2 cents. And of course, as you mentioned, Kelly Solomon. Stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN's Radio Extra.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday, December 9th. Great to be with you in the second hour of Catholic Connection on EWTN's Radio Extra on this, the Feast of San Juan Diego. Pray for us. And we'll learn more about Our Lady of Guadalupe and San Juan Diego on Friday when Steve Ray rejoins us, because he's been there many, many times, and he'll share his experiences, but also more deeply about the actual celebration and what it means, and what does the tilma actually look like in person. He'll describe all of that later on in the show on a Friday morning, moving into the third week of Advent. Coming up in 2 cents, if you were listening to the first hour, I mentioned that I'm going to share a very pivotal moment when I was just returned to the church and I was working at my first Christian media job. I'd walked away from the secular media in the year 2000. And for 2 years before moving over to Catholic radio, which was 23 years ago, amazing, I spent some time at an evangelical station. It's the same station where Al worked before he returned, Al Cresta, before he returned to the Catholic Church. And I worked there, and things were going pretty well. The only problem was that I was Catholic, and I was not allowed to talk about my Catholic faith specifically. I'll explain. But in the midst of getting teased and harassed by some former Catholics who had turned into, bless their hearts, God knows why, anti-Catholic fundamentalists, the Lord sent me a huge affirmation, and it was really a big deal, and I'll explain, because stuff like that does not happen at evangelical stations. It was just out of the blue at the exact time. Well, it wasn't out of the blue because God had planned it, but it was at the exact time that I needed it. I'll share that story with you, and I mention that because it has to do with the Blessed Mother, and of course, we're looking at the Feast of Immaculate Conception yesterday, today, of course, San Juan Diego, Friday, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so the Blessed Mother is very, very deeply connected to this powerful story. And that's how I knew that God was really affirming me in my return to the church and future work as a Catholic talk show host and journalist. So we'll talk about that in 2 cents. Then coming up at the bottom of the hour for two segments, we'll start at 28 minutes past, as we always do. Kelly Solomon returns from the Newman Guide News and the Cardinal Newman Society. We are going to continue going through a fantastic list of very powerful stories that she shared with us, as she thought they're the top stories, both good and bad, for 2025. There are some doozies, both good and bad, in that list. We got through several of them last week, but there's quite a few others that we didn't hit upon, so we will do our best to get through most of them this morning. Let's take a look at the weather. If you were listening to the first part of the program, you know that North Dakota is getting hit pretty hard right now, especially in the Bismarck area. We have a prolonged atmospheric river continuing to impact, especially the Pacific Northwest, with heavy rainfall. Now, that's already led to areas of urban and river flooding along with gusty winds, and that will be with them until Thursday. Now, there's a clipper bringing heavy snow, some mixed wintry precipitation, and gusty winds to the northern plains, upper Midwest, and the Great Lakes. And that's hanging around for a while as well until Thursday morning. We appreciate your listenership, both in the first hour and also here on EWTN Radio Extra. Almost 4 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday morning. Let's get started with the news and see what's happening. Continuing decades-old practice started by his predecessors, Pope Leo marked yesterday, December 8th, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception with a visit to Piazza di Spagna near the Spanish Steps in Rome. As the Holy Father arrived, the choir and assembly sang a Marian hymn entitled, "You Rise More Beautiful Than the Dawn." The Vicar of Rome and the Mayor of Rome greeted the Pope when he arrived. After an opening prayer, the Holy Father offering a bouquet of flowers at the base of the 39-foot-tall column of the Immaculate Virgin, and the choir prayed the litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary in song. Back in 1978, at the beginning of his episcopal ministry as a successor of Peter, Pope John Paul II entrusting the Church in a special way to the Blessed Mother. At the Angelus message that year, on December 8th, his words on the Immaculate Conception intertwined with the life of Jesus. He said, "Christ, who is author of divine life, that is, of grace in each person, through the redemption he accomplished, must be especially generous with his mother. This generosity of the Son toward the Mother goes back to the first moment of her existence, and it's called the Immaculate Conception." Syria is marking 1 year since the fall of longtime ruler Bashar al-Assad after nearly 14 years of war. As Nathan Morley with Vatican News tells us, the former ruler was ousted on December 8th last year after nearly 14 years of conflict.
The al-Assad dynasty, which held power for 54 years, ended when a rebel offensive forced Assad from office after his 24-year rule, which was marked by accusations of widespread torture and repression. Up to 300,000 people remain missing, with scores of mass graves believed to exist across the country. The war triggered one of the world's largest migration crises, with 6.8 million Syrians, that's about a third of the population, fleeing at its peak in 2021. More than half settled in neighbouring Turkey, whilst hundreds of thousands found refuge in Lebanon and Jordan. The UN Refugee Agency says more than 3 million Syrians have returned since late 2024.
The New York Archdiocese setting aside hundreds of millions of dollars for sexual abuse victims. Archbishop and Cardinal Timothy Dolan releasing a statement yesterday saying his archdiocese was setting up a $300 million fund that would compensate people who have sued the church over sex abuse allegations. He adds the church plans to sell off assets and trim its budget to raise the money needed for the fund, and the hope is that the fund will cover almost all of the nearly 1,300 outstanding sexual abuse claims against the church. President Trump says he has no problem releasing the full video of the so-called double tap strike on a suspected drug boat from Venezuela. Yesterday, the president said whatever Secretary of War Pete Hegseth wants to do with regard to the video is okay with him.
So every boat we knock out of the water, every boat, we save 25,000 American lives. That was a boat loaded up with drugs. I saw the video. They were trying to turn the boat back to where it could float.
Navy Admiral Frank Mitch Bradley, meanwhile, showed the strike video to lawmakers and insisted there were no orders from Hegseth to kill all survivors on the first strike. President Trump is unveiling his $12 billion farm aid package.
This relief will provide much-needed certainty to farmers as they get this year's harvest to market and look ahead to next year's crops, and it'll help them continue their efforts to lower food prices for American families.
During a roundtable at the White House, the announcement comes as the Trump administration says it's making affordability its number one issue.
Case 25332, Trump versus Slaughter.
The Supreme Court deciding whether the president can fire members of an independent agency. The High Court heard arguments related to the matter yesterday. It is related to Trump's firing of Rebecca Kelly Slaughter, a member of the Federal Trade Commission. Federal law does allow for firing such as this only in cases of inefficiency, neglect of duty, or malfeasance in office. The High Court will decide whether a 1935 ruling that upheld those restrictions should be overturned. Slaughter was one of two Democratic commissioners fired by Trump earlier this year. And Chris Caraggio tells us Senate Republicans have competing health care proposals.
Some Republicans want a deal that would preserve Affordable Care Act subsidies, while others want the enhanced subsidies to expire. Senators Bernie Moreno and Susan Collins have introduced the CARE Act that would create a two-year extension of expiring ACA enhanced subsidies and allow reforms intended to appease conservatives. The Senate is expected to vote on a Democratic health care plan later this week, though it's not expected to pass, and Republicans haven't decided which plan would be used as a counterproposal. I'm Chris Caraggio.
Cheryl Hines, a wife of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., said her husband is not running for president in 2028. She was asked on News Nation if Kennedy had plans to run, saying no, he did not. Kennedy, who ran for president as a Democrat and later an independent for the 2024 race, backed Donald Trump in the election last year, later becoming his Health and Human Services Secretary. And as we mentioned at the top of the hour, winter weather conditions are affecting millions across the country. Temperatures have dipped below freezing throughout parts of the Midwest and Northeast. Over 12 million people from eastern Kentucky to northern North Carolina are under various weather alerts, with some areas forecast to receive 5 inches of snow. An additional snowfall is expected in North Dakota during the morning before shifting toward the Great Lakes region. Cold conditions will hold steady through today with a brief warm-up, but then another round of cold air by the end of the week. And Brad Ford tells us, speaking of the weather, there's an atmospheric river. We also mentioned this a few minutes ago in the weather forecast, pumping subtropical rain and warm temps into Washington State.
There will be gusty winds and a lot of rain. Snow levels in the Cascades are high, and with several inches of rain forecast, rivers coming from the Cascades could top their banks. At the coast, high tides caused by the moon will cause rivers going into the ocean to back up. And combined with the heavy rainfall, coastal flooding is expected. I'm Brad Ford.
Denny's is shutting down additional restaurants across the country. The diner chain closing 88 locations last year and reportedly has plans to close now between 70 and 90 additional places. News of the closure is coming after the diner chain previously said it would shutter about 150 underperforming restaurants by the end of this year. The chain also announced last month that it will be sold for $620 million, but the closures are said to be unrelated to the pending sale. Tammy Trujillo tells us the Fed is widely expected to announce an interest rate cut, and that could come as soon as tomorrow.
But investors caution the Fed's policy committee could be sharply divided. A handful of members have expressed worries about possible tariff-driven inflation. This is not the last rate decision with Jerome Powell as Fed chair. Although President Trump has pushed Powell to resign, his term as chair doesn't end until May of 26. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And this is an interesting scam, one we haven't heard about before. It's taking place apparently in southern Florida in the Fort Lauderdale area. Sheriff's office in Broward County issuing a warning about scammers who are calling families of people recently arrested and are impersonating deputies, sergeants, or pretrial specialists.
Arrest info is pretty public, and it's public right away, pretty much, you know, hours after an arrest. So, yeah, anyone can really get on and find that information, and, you know, everything is just one Google or internet search away.
That's Officer Miranda Grossman, who says, well, these crooks try to pressure victims into sending money electronically for bail, bond, or ankle monitors. No law enforcement, she says, won't ask for money over the phone or through a Cash App or a wire transfer or gift cards. And she says, don't give out any personal information. Hang up and call the police and report the scam attempt. And a poll by the American Psychiatric Association shows that 41% of adults in the U.S. expect to feel more stressed this holiday season than last year. Clinical psychologist Carrie Ditzel says in order to help your mental health during the holiday season, you may have to say no to certain things.
Take a minute to think about what you really want to do. What is worth changing your routine for? Which party, which person is going to bring you joy, and it's worth the stress or the disruption.
The poll also showing nearly half of adults say they are worried about missing someone or they're worrying about grieving. Nearly half also say they're concerned about affording or finding holiday gifts. NASA's Johnny Kim and two cosmonauts are on their way back to Earth. Kim and two crewmates on the Russian space agency undocked on the International Space Station last night.
Undocking confirmed at 7:41 and 30 seconds p.m. Central Time.
The three spending 245 days aboard the ISS. And finally, in our news segment on a Tuesday morning, well, today is the day people start reaching out with letters and cards for the holiday season. Bree Tennis with more on National Christmas Card Day.
It's a day to gather a stack of cards, maybe a family photo, and a roll of stamps to send holiday cheer to about 50 people on your list. It's a dying form. Back in the 80s, about 75% of us sent holiday cards. American Greeting says this year only about 40% of us will do it. And do check that list twice for worthiness, as the cost of a card, photo, and postage will set you back at least $2.50 per card.
Welcome back. Hope you're having a great Tuesday morning, December 9th, 2025. Teresa Tomeo with you. Tease 2 cents. We try to do this every day, Monday through Friday, just sharing some thoughts from my heart, some ideas. So I started to think, whenever we roll around to very important Marian feast days, such as the Immaculate Conception, as we had yesterday, and then, of course, Friday, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Today, we're celebrating San Juan Diego, directly connected, obviously, to Our Lady of Guadalupe. It brings me back to my early start in Christian and Catholic media, Protestant and Catholic media. When I left the secular media in the year 2000, I didn't know what I was going to do, but all of a sudden I received a call, there's a whole story associated with that as well, from someone I knew from our Christian media fellowship group. And he offered me a position, a midday show, on one of the local big 50,000-watt evangelical stations. And he knew that I was Catholic. And come to find out years later that this particular program director was converting to Catholicism at the time that he hired me. I didn't know that. He didn't say anything about it. I found out about it later. Anyway, so I started working there in the year 2000, and I did a talk show called Christian Talk with Teresa Tomeo. The station manager, a former Catholic, knew I was Catholic, a practicing Catholic, and so did the rest of the staff. Now, the interesting thing is that everyone else on air, all the other hosts, could talk about being Lutheran or talk about being Baptist or talk about being at an evangelical church, you know, a non-denominational church. But I wasn't allowed to talk about my Catholic faith. They did let me say that I am a Christian worshiping in a Catholic church. But that even stopped after a while. And it got so bad at one point that it even had to file, I think I mentioned this yesterday briefly when I was telling you I was going to share this story, I had to file a religious discrimination complaint at a Christian station. I had to go all the way to the top for them to back off on some of the things they were doing. One of which was an employee who was very, very angry, had a lot of anger toward the Catholic Church. And I don't know what happened, and you know, God love him, maybe he had a bad experience. I don't think it was abuse of any kind, but he did not know what he thought he knew. He thought he understood the teachings of the Catholic Church, and he didn't. We would get into these discussions, somewhat heated, about what he said the Catholic Church taught, and what I would try to explain to him, right, would be the actual church teaching. But he didn't want to hear it. And it got to the point where he would say things like, and they're the typical lines that you hear from people who try to challenge Catholics, you worship Mary, you think that a wafer is actually God, you pray to dead people, you have to earn your way to heaven, and on and on and on and on. You probably heard those lines before. And at the time I was working there, Deacon Dom and I had been back in the church probably about 8 years at that point. And we had grown quite a bit in our faith and in our understanding of the Catholic Church teachings and scripture. We came back to the Catholic Church through a Bible study, and it really got us excited because we saw the Catholic Church in scripture. And so we went even further. First, Dominic was in a men's Bible study. I was in the same Bible study, but for women. And then they started a couples Bible study, which was great because we could go together as husband and wife. And it was a huge class. And there were people from the Catholic faith and, you know, Protestant churches and whatnot. And we all came together. And in that particular setting, it was very warm and very welcoming. Nobody pointed any fingers or said, you're going, you know, to H-E-double-L because you're Catholic or because you're not Catholic. It was very welcoming for people of all denominations and Catholics as well. So we were learning and growing in our faith. We were very involved in our parish. We were, you know, studying teachings of the church, looking at the catechism, go figure. We were asked to take part in what was called the Marriage Institute, working with engaged couples. And we had to, in order to work in that particular volunteer ministry, we had to go figure, read the teachings of the church on marriage. So that was a whole nother aspect that just got us so on fire for our faith because we didn't know a lot when we got married. And we fell away from the church for many years. And so we were getting pretty strong in our faith. Not that we knew everything. You can never, ever know everything about the Catholic Church because it's such a deep, beautiful well. But we were learning and far beyond where we were previously. We had a long way to go, and all of us still do, if God's still using you, if you're still on earth and you're not done, right? But I had learned a lot, and I at least knew enough where I could have a conversation with a non-Catholic to try to explain what the church was teaching. But it was really frustrating and getting very, very toxic in the workplace for me, to the point where this gentleman that I mentioned a few minutes ago actually went so far as to take an ad from one of the AAA, the Auto Club magazines that he had in his office. It had an image of a windshield, and on the windshield was one of those statues, you know, that you could put, let's say, someone like Jesus or Mary or somebody else. You could, you know, get some sort of image and put it on your windshield. So in this particular ad from AAA, they were talking about windows, or I don't know what they were talking about, but there was a statue of the Blessed Mother on the windshield. And so he rips out this ad and he hands it to me. And he said, here you go. Since you worship statues, I thought you'd appreciate this, or something along those lines. This is, you know, 23 years ago. I can't remember the exact quote. I'm just paraphrasing. But he used it as an opportunity to what he thought was sticking it to me and saying, see, you Catholics are so ridiculous. This is what you believe in. And so I was pretty frustrated because I wasn't getting anywhere with this man. And I can remember going home and talking to Dominic about it, who at that point had not enrolled in the diaconate yet. And he was saying, well, you know your faith, just do your best to, you know, to explain it. The guy probably had some bad experience. Pray for him, you know, and let's just keep growing. But I can remember feeling so frustrated and really just angry toward this man, and wondering why I was under so much attack about my Catholic faith. So the next day I go into the office and there's a package for me. And as a talk show host, when you're in Protestant radio, you get all kinds of Bibles, all kinds of books, all kinds of promotional materials, but none of them is going to be Catholic, because Catholic publishers and those producing materials from the Catholic Church know that the Protestant church, the Protestant stations are not interested in promoting the Catholic faith. They're Protestants. They're protesters. They're Protestants. They're not in agreement with the Catholic faith. And so they're not going to take any type of Catholic material and promote it heavily on the air. Most of it, if they got anything, would go right in the garbage. It's because they weren't interested. So this day I opened this package, and it is from this company called Ascension Press. And I had no idea who they were at this time. And I see this book. And there's a very nice looking young man with red hair on the cover. His name is Jeff Cavins, who's now a good friend of mine, I'm proud to say. And the book was My Life on the Rock, A Rebel Returns to the Catholic Church. That was the first Catholic publication I ever received at this Protestant station. And I looked at this title and I said, this is a Catholic book. This is a Catholic TV host. Why am I getting this here? So I went home that night and I read the book cover to cover that evening. It was all about his journey, as you probably know. He left the faith, left the church, became a Protestant pastor, then came back and eventually, obviously, would host Life on the Rock. And now he's got an incredible ministry, not only in his archdiocese of Minneapolis, St. Paul, but through Ascension Press, through so many books. And he's just phenomenal. He's just a wonderful, wonderful witness. I didn't know him at the time. And so I'm reading this book and I am being affirmed over and over and over again about the truth of the Catholic faith. And I really saw it as a sign from God. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing okay. Just be there and continue to witness in whatever way you can. That was, as I said, the first and the last Catholic book I ever received in my 2 years working at that non-Catholic evangelical radio station. Never happened before, other than that day. Never happened again. Coincidence? I think not. It came in the midst of a very, very difficult time. God knew what I needed, and he provided it for me. And it gave me, in addition to, as I mentioned, a great affirmation and a great comfort, it also gave me some wonderful teachings in terms of how to defend the faith and how to explain it. And the process that Jeff Cavins went through to realize one by one that he was wrong in his assumptions about the Catholic Church. God knows what we need, even if we don't particularly pray for it. And he's there for us always. I'll never forget that. And it all was connected to Our Lady. Amen to that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. 28 minutes past the hour. EWTN Radio Extra, hour number two of Catholic Connection. It's a Tuesday. That means we are talking with the wonderful Kelly Solomon, Vice President of Newman Guide Programs at the Cardinal Newman Society, for our Newman Guide News. Kelly, you gave us such a great list of stories, both good and bad. We got through a fair number of them, but there are still a few that we weren't able to really talk about. I wanted to revisit, we mentioned this briefly toward the end of our segments last week, the beautiful story of Emily and what she went through, a convert to the faith. And she's now, by the way, working for Catholic Answers as an apologist, which is another amazing story. But kind of let's start there, because that was a really big one. The series that you had on your website, the interview with her, was just phenomenal. We've got a clip we're going to play, but let's start with her story again and set it up for us, if you would.
Yes, this is a really great podcast interview that my colleague Kevin Murphy did on our Cardinal Newman Society podcast with Emily Torres. And we're trying to feature more and more students and their stories. And she recently converted to the Catholic faith before she went off to college. And so she was looking for a college where she'd find a good group of faithful friends. She was also looking for a college that offered neuroscience. And so she thought she'd find a good group of friends to get involved with, to socialize with, to go to Mass with. And unfortunately, what she ended up facing at her Catholic college was a whole list of problems, many of which she protested, she stood against, and fought against during her time in college.
The whole story to me was just, it was amazing. It was really, I think, encouraging that she stuck it out and learned a lot, but she was fighting the whole time. When you don't want to be going through that in college, it's supposed to be a time of learning and meeting new friends, as you said, and growing. And yet she spent the whole time as an apologist, and now she's working full time. I guess it all worked to her favor, but still it was very, very frustrating, I'm sure. So my wonderful producer, Richard, found a clip from that interview, and we're going to share. It's about a two-minute clip to give you an idea of what this young woman went through. Here is Emily Torres, and what she found at her Catholic college, as Kelly Solomon is telling us, will certainly shock you. Take a listen.
And at what point did you run into, let's say, your first obstacle that said to you, you know, maybe this is not exactly what I had hoped for?
Maybe it was when I started helping with, like, tabling for the Pro-Life Club. Basically, Students for Life helped us set this up. So they had a whole display board of something relevant to abortion, the statistics. Maybe they focused on one particular topic at that time. So I helped stand there and basically had to go up to people.
On August 22nd, I told viewers that the road to artificial general intelligence was already bringing massive changes to society.
As they walked by, because no one would really come up to us. If they did, they were scary. Like, you didn't really want people to come up to you because you knew it was going to be bad, probably. There was a few things this year that started to get me kind of realizing the extent of the situation that was kind of in front of me. The first thing was on campus, there was this group called Students for Reproductive Justice. And they weren't a group that was, like, officially affiliated with the university, but they would use university rooms to, like, have their meetings, but the school didn't officially recognize them as a club, you know, because they want to kind of find loopholes for allowing these groups on campus. And this club had an event every Friday called Free Condom Friday, where they would stand out on the public sidewalk right by my school, and they would have fanny packs with condoms in them and scream at the top of their lungs, "Free condoms, free condoms," and then say really other horrible, like, things.
And then, like, just stop people as they were passing by and give
them. Try to give
them
condoms. Okay. And I was horrified by this, especially because they would do this right before mass on campus was at 12 p.m. So, like, they would come right around that time. Mm-hmm. So you'd be, like, on your way to mass, there's a priest there, and they're screaming free condoms with this priest right there, and it was horrifying.
Wow. And that is just a little bit of what this young woman went through. Every time I hear even just a short clip of what she struggled with, Kelly, I'm just amazed at her courage.
It is. I mean, thank goodness Emily was, you know, she used these, all these things that she faced on campus to actually deepen her faith, to do her research, to learn the facts about what the church actually teaches. But I think she's such an exceptional student, you know, as we've talked about, Teresa, that I think so many students go off to secular or many Catholic colleges and they face things like what she faced of, you know, teachers putting trigger warnings on the Bible, her biology teacher telling her sex is a social construct, facing hostility for pro-life tabling. The annual drag show, Emily talks a lot about this in the interview, the annual drag show, the Rainbow Club, hosted on campus, and how it was funded by the school, recognized by the school, and hosted every year on campus. Several Catholic colleges host drag shows on campus every year. The Cardinal Newman Society has spoke out about these for many years, and they continue to go on many campuses. She asked students to sign on up to a petition to fight the drag show on campus. And out of the, you know, 12,000 undergrads plus all the graduate students, she found about 30 students to sign on to the petition. So what does that tell you about the culture and the environment that students are going to find themselves as they enter so many colleges across the country, that Catholic families really need to be aware of these issues, these drag shows, students throwing condoms across campus, the pro-abortion activism. This is the environment that young Catholics are going to face at too many colleges across the country.
What kind of a response did you get from that interview with Emily?
You know, we receive such a very positive response from families that are just so grateful that we continue to shed a light on the problems in Catholic education and in secular education. And, you know, these are the kinds of stories we've been sharing for years and will continue to do so, and continue to, you know, push for strong Catholic identity, continue working with the Newman Guy Colleges to continue strengthen their Catholic identity, to invite any Catholic college around the country that wants to work with us to strengthen their Catholic identity. And so, you know, our members were very grateful for conversations we're having like this.
Have you spoken to her since she, I know she's working at Catholic Answers now as an apologist, but has the Cardinal Newman Society kept in touch with her or chatted with her at all? I'm just curious how she's doing. Do you know?
Yes, you know, I'm sure my colleague Kevin Murphy has kept in touch with her. I'll have to ask him how she's doing. But I'll be sure to follow up, and I'll have to give you a follow up on that next week, Teresa.
It's as challenging as it was for her. I mean, it's really a Romans 8:28 situation. The fact that she had the guts and the gumption to stick it out, I'm sure she learned more about her faith and grew. But I just really feel sorry for her, in the sense that that's what her college life was, and at a Catholic school where she was expecting to find a great place of, you know, companionship and fellowship.
I know. You know, I think of a recent convert joining one of these faithful Newman Guy colleges and what she could have experienced, where she could have, you know, studied all of the subjects from a Catholic perspective, been inspired by her professors, had a strong group of Catholic friends to go to daily mass with, to attend the sacraments, to have a wholesome spiritual and campus life on campus. You know, it hurts that, you know, one of the quotes she says is, "I wish I had known about the Newman Guide, you know, before I set off to college." But, you know, and that definitely motivates me, that I want more and more Catholic families across the country and every student to know and be aware of the Newman Guide, so they don't have to find this out on the back end. You know, those young formative years during college, you know, she did miss out on a lot, and, you know, good for her that she's clearly doing the research and doing the reading and they're studying to learn the faith and live the faith. But, you know, so many young people are getting all
right,
of
there's
that.
There's not too many Emily's out there. It's a hard thing to put up with. More with Kelly when we come back on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned. Looking back over the past year, 2025, the highs and the lows of Catholic education. Of course, it's a Newman Guide News with our friend Kelly Solomon from the Cardinal Newman Society. Okay, well, there's so many stories, and you've done such a great job, Kelly. We really appreciate of summarizing these highs and lows. Let's kind of review just the list, because there are quite a few. We're going to try to get through some other ones, but let's kind of give people an overview of the different stories, if you would.
That sounds great, Teresa. You know, I think it's so important for families to have a general view of what's happening in education today and to know how to seek out the best for their children and their grandchildren, their nieces and nephews and their family and friends. So, Teresa, we just talked about Emily Torres. I thought she had a big story about what she experienced at her Catholic college. Another low from the year was when the University of Scranton, a Jesuit university in Pennsylvania, hired Bob Casey Jr. For a position in which he will mentor students, and Casey campaigned on a pro-abortion platform during his campaign run in 2024. Another low is the University of Notre Dame continues to allow pornography on campus Wi-Fi despite multiple student petitions. Again, moving down the list here, St. Mary's College in Notre Dame, Indiana, chose Dr. Mary McAleese, a self-professed Catholic and the former president of Ireland, who supported the repeal of Ireland's pro-life amendment in 2018 as their commencement speaker. We discussed that back in the springtime earlier this year. Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., the oldest Catholic university in the country, recently announced a new president who's publicly expressed his rejection of church teaching on homosexuality. He said, "Of course, I reject the church teachings on homosexuality." And I quote on Common Wheel several years ago, "We hope he has changed his position and will publicly, you know, make individuals aware that, you know, the leader of the nation's oldest Catholic university, you know, no longer wants to defy church teaching." Teresa, two more stories that made our lows list from looking at the education landscape in 2025. A Catholic college defends hosting a Trans Day of Remembrance. This was at Benedictine University. not to be confused with Benedictine College in Kansas, which is recommended in the Newman Guide. Mm-hmm. This is a different college. And then finally, of course, the sad and devastating decline of enrollment numbers in Catholic schools. You know, it's over 60 years, the number of students in Catholic schools has dramatically decreased. And so how are we providing for the formation of young people in the faith if so many Catholic students are no longer attending Catholic schools?
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you think about, even if they are attending, and I'm doing the air quotes, the Catholic schools, if they're attending those particular schools that we discussed, what kind of exposure to the faith are they getting? Right?
Right. Exactly. Even among Catholic schools and colleges, you have to be very discerning.
All right. So let's take a closer look at the pornography situation in Notre Dame, because the students really rallied and tried to change things, but apparently it wasn't enough, right?
That's right. You know, this has come up several times over the years, that students petition. Again, good for these students fighting for a common sense approach that the University of Notre Dame should be blocking pornography on campus Wi-Fi. Newman Guide colleges block pornography on campus Wi-Fi. They also go to great lengths to form students in an authentic understanding of human sexuality. And many of them have great support for students providing opportunities for healings from pornography addictions. You know, and Teresa, this is one of those cases where, you know, even places like Starbucks and McDonald's, they block pornography on campus Wi-Fi, right? Shouldn't mm-hmm. Catholic schools and colleges be leading on this issue? What kind of message does a college send about its priorities and, allowing to lead students to near occasion of sin if they're willingly sponsoring this near occasion of sin by allowing it on their Wi-Fi?
It makes no sense from a Catholic perspective, first and foremost. But secondly, you don't have to be, you know, a psychologist, you know, an expert in this area to understand the impact that pornography has and what it does to the brain. I mean, I've talked to experts who say it's just as addictive as crack cocaine. So you would think that they would want their students to be concentrating first and foremost on the faith, but then whatever area of education in which they're enrolled, that would be the equal priority, right? Instead, they're just letting them have access to pornography. It's like shooting themselves in the foot in terms of education.
Right. Yes, that's a great point, Teresa. And, you know, at the Catholic University of America back in 2019, President Garvey was petitioned by students to block pornography. And he said, of course, we should have been doing this all along and establish that filter. And, you know, some of the colleges will say, well, you know, students can access pornography in so many other ways outside of the filter. So it's, you know, really pointless. And I'm like, well, wouldn't you do anything possible you can to not allow it through university resources at the very minimum?
And at least to make a statement that you're not supporting that kind of thing.
Right.
I don't understand people. But anyway, that's why we have you on to explain things to us. All right. I want to talk, speaking of Notre Dame, the St. Mary's College in Notre Dame, Indiana, choosing this Dr. Mary McAleese. I mean, my goodness. I don't even know where to go with this one.
Yeah, you know, this is the roundup we do of the commencement speakers every year at the Cardinal Newman Society. And, you know, these colleges can choose to honor any person with the commencement address. It really is an honor and a great privilege. And I think that students, see the person that the college chooses as a role model of someone that they should look up to and try to be like. And why not choose outstanding models of the faith who have done so much for the church and society? And instead, you know, they chose Mary McAleese, who said that the church hierarchy that is homophobic and anti-abortion is not the church of the future. She has publicly supported same-sex marriage. On the other hand, again, Newman Guide colleges invite speakers, host events, and honor individuals to advance their mission of forming young people in truth. Again, one of the great examples of really seeing where our college's priorities are and knowing what kind of education you're going to be receiving during your four mm-hmm. years there.
Yeah. And, these people, who do they think they are? This is not the church of the future. Oh, who died and put you in charge? Excuse me. Right?
Right. Yeah.
It's utterly ridiculous. Yep. And then the other thing is that she's up there claiming that she's Catholic, just like the president at Georgetown. Of course I reject the church teaching. What? What does that mean? Of course I reject church teaching. Then why are you calling yourself a Catholic?
Right. And why do you want to lead a Catholic university? What, it's such a special privilege to be at a place where you're supposed to be uniting faith and reason, to be seeing the wisdom of the church in its longstanding teachings and its unchanging teachings on these key moral issues, right?
Yep.
And that we have the wisdom of the church to guide us. And then, you know, individuals publicly oppose and defy church teaching, and yet they're honored by Catholic institutions. It's a scandal, and it needs to end, and Catholic families need to know where to support and where to send their children.
What I find really compelling is that if you look at the other religions that have accepted such things as so-called same-sex marriage or abortion or women's ordination, they're not packing them in. That does not bring in the people. As a matter of fact, those churches are on the brink of practically imploding, especially if you're looking at the Episcopalian Church, and they've done all of that. It's just amazing that these people can't look at the reality of the situation and say, this is not the way to attract people.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I think of young people being attracted to the truth and beauty and reverence that you find at Newman Guide schools and colleges, and I think about the great fruit that's coming out of them, like places like Christendom College that, you know, have graduated about 100 alumni priests. And if
That's
every
amazing.
Catholic college in the country was doing the same thing, we would not have the vocations
crisis. The priest shortage. Yep.
We see today. Yes.
And, you know, the truth is what brings people in. And when you see, let's say, an active parish, for example, I remember years ago, and you may have heard of him, the wonderful Father John Ricardo. He's a very good friend of ours. He's from the Archdiocese of Detroit. When he started, when he became a priest and he was preaching and teaching, and he wasn't doing, he'll say he was just preaching the truth, and he wasn't. Now, obviously, he's a very gifted speaker. He's very natural at it. But, you know, he was preaching the truth and talking about life and talking about his own life, and but always within the beautiful teachings of the church. And he was packing them in. He had a mass on Sunday nights, a 6 o'clock mass at the St. John Center in southeastern Michigan. And they called it kind of like the young people's mass. And you couldn't have, there were never enough seats. And then he was pastor at a local parish before he began his beautiful ministry, X29, that he's had for several years. But it was with the truth. It wasn't like he was doing anything fancy or some super light show or some, you know, not that they didn't have great music, but it wasn't that. It was the truth. And he was packing them in and still does.
That's beautiful. That, yes, that, what a great example. And, you know, it reminds me again of one of the highs we discussed, of the highlights of education in 2025, how Newman Guide colleges are flourishing, that they're, many of them are boasting record enrollment numbers, and they're packed, and they're having wait lists. And why is it? And what is the secret? And I think that's exactly it, that they're proclaiming the truth. They're not watering it down. They're not skirting around it. They're not defying
apologizing
it.
Apologizing right? for it. Yep.
Right. Yep.
Yep. All right. Last but not least, let's end on a high note, because I know that the impact of Charlie Kirk continues. And that was such a tragedy, such a terrible loss to all of us, regardless of where people are faith-wise. It was such an incredible a story, and his wife, Erica, who forgave the gunman. But his impact is being felt, right, on college campuses, especially Catholic colleges.
Yes, his impact is definitely, you know, being felt. Of course, we're praying for the repose of his soul, so saddened and by this horrific event. But his legacy is definitely living on, and his, you know, ability to engage with people on campus, to want to have hard conversations, to be open to having conversations, I think is really inspiring good institutions to make those conversations happen, to bring in speakers, to have open forums, to engage in conversations, to have those hard conversations in classes. Because as we see our culture, you know, so often unwilling to even have conversations, that good institutions, good schools, good colleges, these should be hubs where we're having those hard conversations, where we're seeking out truth, and where we know that fullness of truth exists in the Catholic faith. And so I think the legacy of Charlie Kirk is really inspiring education, and I think it will impact the education space for years to come.
Yeah, I do too. And so as we look to the new year, I know you'll be on with us next week, God willing, but as we look to 2026, what's coming out from the Cardinal Newman Society that we need to be aware of?
Well, you know, Teresa, I'm thinking about how the March for Life is only just around the corner, and I know many Newman Guide schools and colleges are preparing to be there. I'm sure you'll be there as well.
I'll be
Teresa,
there
again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And
so maybe I can grab some of those Cardinal Newman Society schools and talk to them. Maybe we can work on that. That'd be great.
That would be wonderful. And hear about how they're, you know, witnessing to the pro-life message all year long. And the March for Life is one example of how they're living out that pro-life message. We're also announcing our scholarship contest this week, Teresa. So high school juniors and seniors can sign up to be entered into our scholarship contest with up to $20,000 over the course of their 4 years. So that's pretty exciting as well.
Keeping you busy, right? And all good things.
Yes. Of course. Yes.
All right, my dear. Well, great job again. Such an interesting two segments that we've had today and, of course, last week in covering these different stories, the highs and lows of Catholic education for 2025. And this is all the more reason where you need to check out the great work of the Cardinal Newman Society. And give us a website again, Kelly.
CardinalNewmanSociety.org. N-E-W-M-A-N. CardinalNewmanSociety.org.
All right. Thank you, my dear. Have a great week, and we'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday morning. Stay tuned. I hope you enjoyed today's program, both the first hour and the second hour, which we just completed here on a Tuesday. Great to be with you every day here on Catholic Connection. As we move through Advent, we are reminding you that there are great resources out there for you. Don't forget, you can go to ewtn.com/advent and sign up for free from our Mission Advancement. Our wonderful team there has put together another fantastic free video series. This one featuring our own chaplain at EWTN, the amazing Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, who gives you beautiful, beautiful reflections. And what's nice is they're quick. He knows that we're all busy and you can just listen. And just listening to him, it just brings you peace. It'll bring your blood pressure down because he has such a sincerity about him and he's just so calm and comforting. Plus, it's great information to help us through Advent. So that's one. But also, if you go to EWTN.com/radio, and then hit schedules. If you recall, Tom Price was on with us last week and discussing all the great Advent programming we have. And then Tom is also going to be coming up, I think next week or maybe the week after, talking about all the great Christmas programming we have on EWTN. So just a reminder, we have plenty of resources for you, all the information available at EWTN.com. Now, tomorrow is a Wednesday, and that means, of course, we are going to be doing Italy's Shrines and Wonders, and I'll tell you about some of the amazing things that Deacon Dom and I have witnessed these last few weeks for Advent. Very big things, some amazing things, and also Joan Lewis from Rome. Have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you, God willing, tomorrow on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.